How are we doing on the sound there, Uncle Don? We on? We good? Okay. All right. So today, I would like to consider the word and the idea of hope. And sometimes we talk about hope in our daily lives. We might say, I hope my team wins. I hope you feel better. Or I hope to see you soon. And these are fine. Words can have a different meaning to different people in different situations. But today, I'd like to consider spiritual hope. And this is quite different than the hope that the natural man speaks of. And I'd like to give you a definition of hope. Spiritual hope. And anytime I say the word hope, you can put this in there. A confident expectation in things beyond this world. So, let's just consider that statement for the rest of our time today. Now, we do see the hope that I spoke of first from the natural man in the Scriptures. And there's two places that I found. There might be more. But in Luke chapter 23, Herod hoped to see Jesus perform a miracle. And then in Acts 24, Felix hoped that Paul might offer him a bribe. Now, both of these men were disappointed. And when we say, I hope you can make it to the party, we're doubtful that we will see them. Spiritual hope doesn't have this doubt. The Bible uses the word hope with a focus on God and fills us with eager expectation. When we hope in a spiritual hope, we will never be overcome by disappointment. We will be filled with patience, encouragement, and enthusiasm. I always think of Sig when I say that word, enthusiasm. Anyway, the Hebrew words used in the Old Testament for faith are four. Mikwe, Tikwa, Kewa, and Yehal. They suggest looking forward with confident expectation. And each word calls for patience, reminding us that the fulfillment of hope lies in the future. Kewa suggests that we focus our attention on what it is that awaits us. And Job speaks of this in chapter 17. And by the way, I'm only giving you chapters because if you really want to look up the verse, go ahead and read the chapter. Anyway, sorry. Job says in chapter 17, if the only home I hope for is the grave, where then is my hope? Who can see any hope for me? But Job knows that his hope is in God. We know that God always shows himself faithful to his commitments and his covenants. God's plans for the future may not be fully understood. Nevertheless, the Psalms express overflowing confidence in God personally. How God will deliver us is not completely clear, but God can be trusted. The word for hope in the Psalms is Yehal. And this word focuses on our present circumstances as we look ahead. At times, Yehal is translated wait. Yehal invites us to link our present relationship with God to hope. In the Old Testament, God is a deliverer. God will save us if our hope is in Him. It's appropriate for us to wait confidently until God delivers. We know God, we trust Him, we have this Yehal. We have courage to face each new day, for the Lord preserves the faithful. Therefore, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Psalm 31, and then Psalm 71, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Deliver me. Be my strong refuge. You are my rock and my fortress. You are my hope, O Lord. My Yehal. O Lord God, you are my trust from my youth. I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. So the idea of hope has to do with our relationship with God. It has to do with how much we trust in God. We don't know what lies ahead in our lives. We know that God is wholly trustworthy. Psalm 119 says, "You have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this. Your promise preserves my life." And then Psalm 130 says, "O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is your unfailing love, and with him is full redemption." So the Old Testament establishes with a deep conviction that our relationship with God is the ultimate ground of hope. So if we want to have hope, develop our relationship with God. He himself is the hope of Israel. We focus our gaze on him, and we find a source of both confidence and patience. Isaiah understands this well and shares with us his insight in Isaiah 8. "And I will wait on the Lord, who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him." Now the Greek word for hope used in the New Testament is elpiso, which is the verb, and elpis, which is the noun. Now in the New Testament, hope is always the expectation of something good. Hope is also something that we must wait for. For example, we hope for a resurrection for all. In 1 Thessalonians 4, believers will be raised to be with the Lord. Therefore, we do not grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. And then in Acts 24, "I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection from the dead, both of the just and the unjust." This hope of a future resurrection is important, but it is not our only reason that we hope. We also hope in a progressive transformation of our lives. We have this elpis, that something good is coming, and we must patiently wait for it. So we have both a present hope and a future hope. We experience a renewal that grows, and we expect as we take each struggling step towards the future. All right, so let's go and say that one again. We experience a renewal that grows, and we expect as we take each struggling step towards the future. So we have hope in sanctification. We patiently expect that we are being set apart. The Holy Spirit is at work now, writing God's holy law on our hearts, rather than on a cold stone. This is the new covenant versus the old covenant. The Holy Spirit is transcribing Jesus' own character within our personalities, so that we are progressively becoming more like Jesus. Galatians 5:5 says, For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Christ in us becomes not only our hope for the distant future, but our expectation for tomorrow as well. Colossians 1:27 is a verse that's well known to this fellowship. "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." There's a vital need for us to have hope. Hope in God, hope in Jesus, hope in the Holy Spirit. This sets us apart from the world. The world doesn't have this very real hope. We need to have hope, and we need to know why we hope, and we need to know what we hope for. When we fix our eyes on the future that God has in store for us, we taste the wonders of His transforming power. 1 John 3:3 says, "Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he, Jesus, is pure. The promise here is that as we realize that God intends for us to be like Jesus, our lives will change. Our character will change. Did you know that hope is associated with character? And did you know that your character can change at any age? Now, if we think about it, we know that from reading the Bible. Because we look at Moses at 40, and he's got a big change in his life. And then we look at Moses at 80, and he's got a big change in his life. And he's still got to spend 40 more years doing something. And he goes through changes. So there's no excuse for somebody to say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, because you can. And it doesn't matter what decade of life you're in, your character can change. Character development is associated with endurance. Some of these words I'm saying today are very foreign to society right now, like patience and endurance and character and hope. We learn to do the right thing despite the delay in reaching our goals or receiving rewards. Paul talks about this in 1 Thessalonians 1, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. Paul talks about this in Romans 5. It's the key scripture on the subject. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Okay, so two things let's consider here. First, character needs to be developed. We weren't born with good character. And we might not have good character now. But our character can be developed. So what's our character? Well, our character is who we are when no one is looking. No one but God. God knows our character. And the question I have for you, and only you can answer this, how genuine are you? Your character is your manner of life, your way of life. And your character develops over time through testing. As we persevere in the life of faith, we develop Christian character. All right, second, we see that character produces hope. So again, we're not born with this hope. We don't have all the hope that we're ever going to have. We learn character and we develop hope. Something that you acquire by living through tribulations and persevering. Then we develop that confident expectation in things beyond the world. We come to realize that we cannot place our hope in the things of the world, things that are passing away. We must put our hope in the eternal God and the treasures that He has in store for us. We can't put our hope in things. The world puts their hope in money, in houses, in education, in pensions. They're all part of the world, and they come and they go. We cannot place our hope in people because they are of the world and they may disappoint us. They usually will. We can't put our confident expectations in things or people. We can only have hope in the Lord God Almighty. He is in charge. We can trust Him. He will finish what He starts. We can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, we can be confident and expect that God will be glorified in all the earth. Faith and love spring from the hope that is stored up for us in heaven. Romans 12:12 commands us to rejoice in hope. Our hope should bring us a deep sense of joy. We're told, rejoice in the Lord always. As we grow in our faith, we have this hope, we can rejoice always. Our hope is wrapped up in Jesus. He is the power who works to transform our lives. We shall experience the resurrection of the body and eternal life through Jesus. In the Old Testament, we learn that our hope comes from a relationship with our Heavenly Father. I'll share Jeremiah 29 again. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And then the prophet again in Lamentations chapter 3, he speaks to us saying, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him." It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. The patience of hope is an attitude. So let that sink in for a sec. It affects how we face each day. Do we have that attitude of hope? It affects our interactions with others. We do not fear man or the things of the world. We have a patient, confident expectation in things not of this world. And we know that God is in control of everything and He will have His way. Our hope is in His Word. Romans 8:28, we can all say by heart. The first three words, "and we know." This is a very confident way to start a verse. It doesn't say, "and we think." It doesn't say, "maybe this is true, but." "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Colossians also speaks of a helmet, which is the hope of salvation, in chapter 5. "But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." So I always get into the analogy that's being used, you know. And so we protect our chest, our breath, our heart, with the breastplate of faith and love. And we protect our brain, our thoughts, our meditations with the helmet of the hope of salvation. Verse 11 says, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing." 2 Thessalonians 2 encourages us and speaks of hope as a gift from God. "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." So this verse tells us that the good hope is given by grace. What is grace? Grace is undeserved blessing. So we're given this not because we deserve it. We're given this because God loves us. The hope is given to comfort our hearts. Do we all need our hearts to be comforted? Yes. The hope is also given to establish you in every good word and work. So we are to be comforted and to be established in God's word and His works. Our hope is to be firm. Our hope must endure. Our hope leads to purity. Our hope gives us an eternal inheritance. We're only scratching the surface of this deep issue of hope in the Lord. We could study the subject every week for years, and we could uncover layer upon layer of truth. God is an infinite being. We can never fully comprehend all there is to know. I always think of Peggy when I say this, but I invite you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Hope is a gift given by grace. Hope is to be laid hold of. There's an active part to this. Hope must be acquired. Hope affects our attitude every day. Hope protects us and comforts us and encourages us. And we are to rejoice in hope. Amen.